We have proof that Christianity is indeed a joyous faith, because we have 40 days of Lent, but we have 50 days of Easter, rejoicing in the resurrection. And then not only that, all the times of ordinary time, the time after Pentecost, in the, as it was called in the old calendar, where the apostles went out joyfully proclaiming the faith, even in the face of death. Today, we focus on perhaps, indeed, really, God's greatest attribute, which is his mercy. We see the mercy that he had with Thomas. You know, he wanted St. Thomas to believe in him. He showed him his hands and his feet, and that's where the mercy of God flows from his very wounds. It's easier to destroy than to create. It takes a few minutes to knock down what has taken months, if not years, to build. What is even harder than creating is restoring or recreating. Restoring something that is old or something that has many flaws and making it shine again, that would be considered a great act of mercy for what is being restored. This mercy is God's greatest attribute. While broken in sin we were, he comes to restore us, to recreate us. This idea of recreation is used by the venerable Fulton Sheen. He uses an analogy of a symphony. We have a grand symphony and someone hits a bad note, but instead of annihilating that bad note, that note becomes the first note in a new symphony. Instead of ceasing to think about us and thus us going into oblivion and starting again, our Lord comes to lift us up, restoring us, to give us the strength and conviction to turn away from sin and to have peace. And that's mercy. That's divine mercy. This is Divine Mercy Sunday, which was given to us by our Lord himself, revealed to Saint Faustina. He says in her diary, "It is my desire that it be that this day be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the fount of mercy." The graces on this day are extraordinary. St. John Paul II has attached a plenary indulgence to this day, which is complete remission of sin and punishment of complete remission of punishment due to sin. In other words, no purgatory time. You won't have to stop off in the fires of purgatory to be purged of your imperfections. So what is a plenary indulgence? What is required of us on this day to gain that? First, you should go to confession. And this confession can be, according to EWTN, 20 days before or 20 days after this day, if you're not able to get to it on this day. But also on this day, and a few days before or after, to receive Holy Communion in a state of grace, to pray for the Holy Father, and then to do the work of mercy, which is defined as in any church or chapel, in a spirit that is completely detached from the affection of sin, even a venial sin, we take part in the prayers and devotions held in honor of divine mercy. Or in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament exposed or reserved in the tabernacle, recite the Our Father and the Creed, adding a devout prayer to the merciful Lord Jesus. Merciful Jesus, I trust in you. So I know a few places in the diocese tomorrow will have these Divine Mercy celebrations, where you'll have the chance to say the Divine Mercy chaplet and also to go to confession. And All Saints and IHM, that we rotate our service. Last year, we had our service here, and this year it will be at IHM in Burlington tomorrow at 2:30. So I'd encourage everyone to go out and to this great Divine Mercy service to experience what our Lord, you know, wants to give us so very much. His heart, you know, is bleeding, you know, for us to accept his mercy and his love. The Lord, because of his mercy, steps into creation and sets it back on track, never giving up and being so very patient with us. Saint Alphonsus says that our Lord's patience is geared towards our salvation. This love, this mercy of our Lord moved a woman in the Bible caught in adultery to turn from her sinful life. This mercy turned Saul from persecuting Christians to follow the good God, becoming Saint Paul, the apostles to the Gentiles. This mercy helped Saint Augustine turn from a wild life and not despair of the things that he has done, and leaving all sin, becoming Saint Augustine, one of the greatest theologians of the history of the church. How do we respond to his love, his grace, his mercy? There was once a coach who placed two $100 bills in the stands where they practiced. He told his players that he hid one. A few jumped up and started looking. The others thought they were too cool and didn't look for it. One of the players found the $100 bill. Then he said that he hid one other one. A few other players jumped up to look. Still, some did not because they thought it was dumb and they were too cool for that game. And yet, another player found the money. The coach expressed frustration afterwards that his players were only concerned about human respect, but others people thought. The coach then said that all people who participated will be the starters for the season. You know, we're not dealing with money here, but rather our immortal soul. So let's take advantage of our Lord's offer while we still can. After this time of mercy will indeed come the time of judgment. We will fall into the hands of the just judge for all the things we have done. So we should indeed now, while we can, turn to the merciful Savior and his infinite mercy. Saint Faustina, in her diary, said to priests, "You have to speak to the world about his great mercy and prepare the world for the second coming of him who will come, not as a merciful Savior, but as a just judge. Oh, how terrible is that day. Determined is the day of justice, the day of divine wrath. The angels tremble before it. So speak to souls about this great mercy while it is still the time for granting mercy." And that's what this day is about. The floodgates of heaven are open. His mercy is being shed upon the whole world, so we should take advantage of it and not ignore it like those players in that coach story. And no matter what sin committed, we will be forgiven if we're truly sorry and amend our life. Are we immersed in a life of sin? It's not too late to turn from that life, to trust in our Lord's power, his grace. God is stronger than any sin, any temptation. He gives you the strength to run from it. And that's all because of his mercy. So it is indeed a time to celebrate now and always. This is indeed a message for the whole world. There is no reason to despair. Run to the font of mercy and turn from sin. The beautiful Divine Mercy chaplet our Lord gives St. Faustina. We should try and have a devotion to that beautiful chaplet. She says that the most hardened sinner, if he but recites it once, will receive tremendous graces. The Lord, he comes to restore us, to recreate us, to make us that beautiful note of an awesome symphony. So we should trust him completely. Recite over and over this simple phrase at the bottom of the Divine Mercy picture. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Isn't it interesting that our Lord, he gives that devotion to St. Faustina at the very beginning of the most evil century ever recorded? What's the first message of our Lord? Jesus, I trust in you. So place your heart, mind, and soul into the hands of the merciful Savior. Trust in him. Repent of your sins and go out and proclaim his mercy, his love, his peace to the whole world.